Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city as we continue to roll on. As we wrap up that Cowboys NFL talk, though, unfortunately, the really bad thing about everything that's going on with the Cowboys is no one is enjoying it more than, I mean, I'm a Cowboy. Stephen A., and then it was his birthday today, and he just kept drilling it, and I'm like, it's a national show, bro. There's bigger stories.
Yeah. Mm. Look, some pissed off Cowboy fan texted us, said, kiss my ass, Barry. That's all it says. Kiss my ass, Barry, from pissed off Cowboys fan.
I'm not an angry
fan.
Cowboys fan. I think that a lot.
Real quick, I do want to circle back, as you brought up Dicker the Kicker, but that OU UT game, that Red River rivalry, which I would much rather just be the shootout, but you know, we're so sensitive now that you can't be the Washington Bullets and you can't call it a shootout.
Nope.
But okay. But this texter was like, do you think OU's defense can keep this up? Yeah, in the Big 12 I do. We'll see how they fare against other squads, and you know, but you've got a quarterback with a ton of experience. And Hurts.
That's the thing.
These rivalry games, and he made some mistakes, but man, OU's defense was just swarming everywhere.
Nine. Is it Foster? Foster Jr., number nine? Dude he goes across the field. He doesn't quit on any plays. AJ and I were texting during the game, and I was like, look, the OU defense is for real. And this kid, whether you play him as a big safety or an undersized linebacker, he could play on the next level. And then take Jalen Hurts into the equation. He may not ever be a quarterback in the NFL, and he still doesn't pass it great, but in a college offense, he can take a team, and because, like you said, take all of his athletic ability and take his experience, and he is exactly what Oklahoma needed at the exact right time. And when you look at it, if you're Lincoln Riley, and sure, you're going to get NFL offers, including Dallas, right? But if you can say, as a head coach in the NCAA, especially with all the people being critical of cheating these days, and say, I've had the last three Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, last three Heisman Trophy winners, period, on my roster the last 3 years. Who in America that thinks they can be the next isn't going to go, I want to go to Oklahoma and play for that dude?
Well, no doubt. And when you look at that, first-year defensive coordinator and the defense is playing the way they are, and the texter asked about the Longhorns and how bad the defense is, that's a problem. I mean, you give up 275 yards rushing. That's an issue. And I know it's the Big 12 and defenses aren't known to, you know, in the Big 12, but if you're UT, you got to be able to get some stops, especially in a game like this where, you know, this is a team that this was the Big 12 championship. Yeah. I think the winner of this was probably going to go on and win the Big 12. And now, I mean, UT can't really do much. This was the big game for them, and I just felt like, you know, they really that offense didn't look comfortable until the second half. They started clicking a little bit. They had the 3 points, but you know, they got all the majority of their points in the second half. But by then, it was too late because OU was their defense was still feeling it. The offense came around, and it was just too much.
We talk about the fact that the Texans pretty much should have blown the Chiefs out if Will Fuller steps up. If Oklahoma, if number four in the secondary for Texas doesn't make two huge plays to force fumbles that cause turnovers, it could have been a whole lot worse if you're a Longhorn fan, regardless of what you try to do offensively. And I watched the entire game, and I just never once felt like Texas's offense can do something here. They're going to get on a roll.
Right.
They couldn't get tempo. They couldn't get the kind of movement they wanted. They couldn't rush the football. Ellinger was basically swarmed upon. I just feel like they were outmatched. Now, that's not to say that they're not a good football team. They're just not on that level right now.
The thing I worry about for Oklahoma, and it may or may not backfire, I don't know, but They don't really have.
Are you pulling a hair out of your arm?
Yeah, no, I'm ripping the IV bandage off quickly.
Oh, okay.
They don't really have. I mean, Baylor's 18, but they don't really have a tough game left on their schedule.
No, they're like Clemson. I mean, regardless of how good you think they are, we won't really know until the conference championship and beyond, and that could hurt a lot of other teams because if you win the conference and you really haven't played anybody, chances are, because of what that is one of their checkboxes on what it means to advance the playoff. So you're going to get consideration now against head-to-head opponents like Oklahoma that hurts them. Yeah. Right. So, but even if you're Oklahoma, you've beaten Texas, you'll do what you have to do. But really, other than that, who have you played? When you have to play a defense that can swarm you, like an LSU or a Florida or a Wisconsin or teams like that, you're probably going to get that nod, and then you're going to bump somebody with one loss that isn't quite, that may be better than you overall, but hasn't, you know, because of a loss at a tougher conference or two losses, you're not going to get the look. They're going to get a look because they should run the table right now, just like Clemson should, and there's two of your teams.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Baylor, again, sitting at 18, but they're probably going to lose. I would say they lose to Oklahoma. They're probably going to lose to Texas as well.
Right.
So then that one, you've got another signature win for Oklahoma that you would think would be a signature win for a ranked team right now in Baylor, but they won't be by the time the season is over, so it won't mean as much.
Yeah, unless OU screws up. I don't know.
That's what I say. I thought this game, and I realized that they have a conference champion now in the Big 12, but I feel like this game was crucial for these teams. And
yeah. Just like Georgia, because the LSU is even more – because the SEC is even more loaded up at the top this year, you used to be able to survive and then look at the other conferences and their lack of competition and go, SEC is the best conference – hands down, and the competition is unbelievable, so you could conceivably have two SEC teams. Well, two SEC teams probably aren't going to include Georgia right now, depending on how the rest of the season plays out, based on the fact that those other teams are so damn good, they wouldn't lose to South Carolina.
Well, and now you got Bama and LSU playing, you know, each other, but only one of them
split.
But only one of them is going to go to the conference finals.
Unless they split, and then you can say, each has got to win, and the rest of their schedule, and the way they performed in the SEC... You put one, unless you weight the conference championship versus the regular matchup as more, how can you crap on one and reward the other?
I think at this point it's the conference with the most with the best odds of having, you know, two teams in the playoffs.
It's the SEC.
Well, I don't know, because do Wisconsin and Penn don't play? Penn State don't play.
They play both of them. They still play Penn State and they play Ohio State.
Oh, okay. I didn't think that they played Penn State.
I'm pretty sure they play both.
Wisconsin's remaining schedule, Illinois. Oh, let's see. I got to go to the full schedule. That's my bad. Yeah, no.
They play Ohio State for sure.
Wisconsin does not play Penn State.
That's rare because they've played them every year.
They've got Illinois, Ohio State, Iowa, Nebraska, Purdue, and Minnesota on the Wisconsin schedule left.
Well,
if they handle their business, and that's going to be a tough task against Ohio State.
Yep.
But Wisconsin's defense, man, it has to have you at least believing a little bit. But I think the opportunity exists. And the scenario is better for the Big Ten to have two representatives. Not that it would happen.
I don't think so.
But it's going to be a lot tougher for the SEC now because of Georgia and what they did. Because you could see either Bama or LSU getting to that SEC championship, playing Georgia, and it could still happen. But I just with this loss with Georgia, I think that really hurts their chances of making the playoffs.
Well, that's why this Alabama-LSU game is going to be so huge. I'm definitely looking forward to that, especially with the way the LSU offense has evolved. We talked about how dynamic they are now as compared to – in years past. So that is going to be a tough situation, and it is probably because of Georgia. But look,
could you imagine? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go imagine what?
Could you imagine a scenario where either Bama or LSU obviously is in the conference championship, and then one of them loses to Georgia, who isn't considered good enough to represent the SEC to begin with?
Ooh.
Whoa.
And then angry people.
Oh, I mean, it's not going to happen. There will be an SEC team in the playoffs.
Oh, God, yeah.
But man,
you know who else
that would make everything just. Crazy.
You know who else? Again, when we're talking about like conferences, schedules, and who's affected by this. And sure, obviously Georgia hurt themselves. But you know who else it hurt? It hurt Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame lost a 6-point game to Georgia, but they were hanging their hopes that, hey, Georgia's going to be a top five team. So if that's our only loss and it's against a top five team, how can you punish us? But if Georgia slides out and even if they stay 10 or below, based on the competition the rest of the way between all those other teams, I think it screws them.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So we'll see how it all plays out. It's going to be interesting. But look, hey, at least we had four major. I may or may not have been drugged up, but I was there to tell you.
Tweet.
There were
Barry. I was like, oh, God.
Four games, including ranked team against ranked team. So he should have been excited this weekend.
I was, and it was good. It was good to watch some good college football for a change.
Trust me. To be
except the Aggie game. That wasn't good.
In an organized, non-illegal jail. Yeah. In the hospital with nowhere to go. It was great to have at least big matchups I could watch.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So that was fantastic. I hope there's more to come, but obviously SEC alone, you should have great matchups to watch.
Let's hope so. Now that we're getting into the meat of conference play. Yeah,
so, that'll be good. We're going to continue to roll on. Lots more to get to. In terms of, we can recap some of the Astros with still other things to discuss. And, of course, Game 3 coming up tomorrow afternoon, which is a great time to give you a quick reminder. We will be preempted by Game 3 of the Yankees-Astros series and the ESPN broadcast. So, therefore, we're going 1-3 tomorrow, then baseball, and then if there's anything left on the backside, the Blitz. Because we want to make sure you get the game from the ESPN perspective, and it's worth listening to.
Well, that's why you should tune in to the suspects the first 2 hours leading up to the game.
Let us be your pregame. That's right. Smart move, Nick. Let us be your pregame leading you right into Astros-Yankees tomorrow, and then, of course, back on a way back Wednesday for the rest of the week. So we'll continue to push on. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest? 713-780-3776. It's the HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter right here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be on this glorious day in Houston. I'm really pissed I missed the cold weather, as some of you called it, including my daughter and other wussies that have never been in cold weather. But I missed
the
fall.
Did you just call your daughter?
Oh, my daughter's a wuss. We're going to toughen her ass up. Yep, no doubt about it. The only way I could get her back to my good graces in the hospital was after she said that. And I was like, are you wearing that jacket? Like a parka? And I'm like, Lisa, and you put her in that? It is not that bad. I was like, okay, Taylor, who's big game today? She goes, Badgers. I go, who's playing Monday night? She goes, go Packers. I go, nice. Who do we hate? She goes, Bears, Cowboys, Vikings. I go, you're all right. You passed the test.
Bears, as long as, Cowboys, Vikings, and Barry.
If I got her trained on all of that, then she can be cold if she wants.
That's great.
Well, but you I'm test. Sorry. It seems like you test her every day, every week. So I feel like she'll never forget to never
Lisa
ever
went from
go
fighting
against
it
the Packers.
To go, every time I'm watching a Packer game and she comes in and Lisa's normally in the vicinity, first thing she obviously says, she looks at the TV and goes, "Okay, Daddy, that's the Packers. Who's that?"
Oh, nice.
And then if I have to explain it to her, she goes, do we hate them like the Bears? And then the Vikings? And then the... And then if she gets stuck, I go, Cowboys always. And yeah. Then she, I go, yes, we do. And she goes, okay, so they're blue and we're green. I got it. And she's good.
That's cute.
Yep.
That's got to be cool.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And since Lisa's an LSU, I mean a UCLA alum, all she's got no ground to stand on. She full-time Badger fan right now.
Oh, nice.
UCLA football.
Yeah, you
sucks.
Don't want to watch
the
UCLA
whole Pac-12
football.
Sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a quarterback that's going to go somewhere, and other than that, nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. You want to take Eric's call on the Cowboys? Because then I want to talk a little Texans.
Should we think about it for a second? Hey, guys. Woody, should we take this call?
Yeah, let's just do
All
it.
All right. Eric, you're on. What's up?
Eric, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I never thought the Cowboys would be as bad as my phone calls.
This is all you, Mike, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, get rid of it.
Bitch, get your ass out of here.
This is all you, Mike.
Oh. We got to work on the new interns.
Well, the new
screeners.
Intern doesn't know the voice yeah, of know. The Mike. Now he
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
He sounds Man. A little bit like us.
Get
Was it Slappy
scrubby,
who called in earlier?
Take your scrubby ass to another show.
Your voice is too distinct, sir.
Yeah. Anyone can hear what an idiot sounds like right away. That dude still texts this show. Hating on me. I mean, bro, let it go and move on, Mike. The amount of space that I rent in that dude's dome is unbelievable.
Rent free, huh?
God, get out of here. I do have good news if you're a Texans fan.
Okay.
Aaron Wilson put out a tweet at 10 o'clock this morning. Texans rookie offensive tackle Titus Howard did not tear his ACL. Test confirm he has a partially torn MCL. But shouldn't require surgery and should be able to return this season, according to league sources.
Long-term okay. good news.
So that is long-term good news.
Need short-term prognosis. So how long is he going to be out and who are you putting in his place?
Don't know about that, but they just said he will return this season. Bad news is Bradley Roby, it's not looking good. Ian Rappaport tweeted out, Texans starting cornerback Bradley Roby is dealing with a hamstring injury from Sunday that's considered significant, sources say. He'll likely miss a month. Though there is a bye week during that time in week 10, so that helps.
Well, at least J.J. will be back.
So yeah.
It's like, and there's not many guys on the market, and if you're looking to make a trade, what are you giving up? It's not a pretty picture right now, gang. That's got to be addressed.
Yep, Roderick Johnson, they're saying, might replace Howard. Henderson is an option as well. And then you've got, obviously, if Joseph, depending on how long he's going to be out, Lonnie Johnson is your man.
Yeah, it's scary to me.
T.Y. Hilton versus Lonnie Johnson, that scares me.
They obviously have worked a lot with Lonnie Johnson, but those two injuries right there.
Not enough to take on an all-world receiver like T.Y., who's done what he's done to the Texans over the last several years.
Mm.
And the other thing is, and if you listen, and you're stupid enough to listen to the other station on a regular basis.
Get out of here.
That is the home team of your, the home station of your home football team. Stop worrying about MVP, okay? Just the same way we just got talking about from a college ranking standpoint. Yes, from what we've seen of all the different players in consideration to this point in the season, yay, Deshaun Watson's in the top three. Now, shut up and worry about your team winning football games. Because you know what? It'll take care of itself. If your team continues to win, and just like we always say, quarterback always gets too much credit and always gets too much blame. But here's the thing. As long as Deshaun keeps doing his deal, and they keep winning football games, and they find a way to guard T.Y. Hilton and other things, it'll take care of itself. So stop worrying about comparing stats with Russell Wilson. Stop worrying about where does he compete with Patrick Mahomes, but on the head-to-head, you win. The championship, and not just divisions, but getting to conference championships and Super Bowls and winning games consistently as a football team is 150,000 times more important than getting that man his MVP. He's going to get his. I'm not crapping on him. I'm not crapping on what he's done. I'm just telling you, focus where you need to focus. I'm done.
You feel better?
I do.
I'm sitting here updating my spreadsheet from my picks. Boy.
Not a good week?
Daddy took a bath.
That's because you've been bragging about the good stuff.
Yeah, I was really on a roll. I was like, I went 10-5 in over-under picks last week. I'm 43-34 for the season. This is the joys of gambling. Man, I had four right picks on just, you know, against the spread, and three over under. That's it out of 15 games. Not a good week.
Bury the hammer.
The spreadsheet has failed me miserably this week. Really bad. So we'll look to rebound.
What was that dude we had on from Vegas?
What was his name?
He was so big about how great he was and all the different things he called right. And the minute he went cold and people
it wasn't
calling,
on this show. He was on another show.
Oh, it was on this show. Oh yeah. And
we so kept, funny that he's called him.
Vegas Dave, wasn't it? It was Vegas Dave. And Vegas Dave,
best ever. You didn't get nothing right. Shut up. I'm out.
Vegas Dave would be all about like telling us what we couldn't ask, but we need it. Well, no matter what, we need to talk about. The man uses a clear backpack so you can see all the cash he's carrying from all the wins he's carrying from all the things he's done. And so we came back after 1 week and said, "Hey, Vegas Dave, how'd that pick go where you took the underdog and lost by 23? Dead silence. Next 2 weeks, we tried to call him. He wasn't there. After that, MIA, and we were done with him ever again. But Vegas Dave was loving when his life was good, but he didn't want too much when it went downhill, and it went down hard. I always remember that. That dude, everybody was like, where the hell's Vegas Dave? Putting out like wanted signs, everything like that. I was like, yeah, oh, I don't think we're going to find him.
Yeah, not a good week for me. 4-9 in picks, 3-9-1 in over-under picks. Boy.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Tennessee? I mean, that Tennessee Broncos game, 16
so now
does
they
nothing.
The bigger issue is now they benched Mariota once, and they're talking about going forward. Do they just go with Tannehill and leave him for the rest of the season?
It's 6-1 and half a dozen in the other. I mean Tannehill and Mariota are like the same guy, basically.
And Mariota's free, I think, at the end of the year. So at least you saw all you needed to see. Just let him go.
He'll be a backup, but I don't see Mariota getting a starting job anywhere else.
He again, can stay healthy. Also, obviously took a beating.
Yeah.
But kind of, we saw who he really is. It's kind of like if Jalen Hurts wins the Heisman and somebody says, there's our guy that we're going to draft highly.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out Mariota's a hell of an athlete. And he tried to be a runner in the NFL and found out they're bigger, faster, stronger all across the D.
Yeah.
And it's not a good look.
Bigger, faster, stronger across the D.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I let it go.
That's because both your minds are in the G.
I almost made a.
Not all the time.
How many times have you played Dicker the Kicker?
Just twice.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a fantastic call, though. Let's be honest. Like, everybody's playing that call.
How many times you played at home by yourself tonight?
It's the only college football player that matters.
Bigger, faster, stronger across the D.
Oh, I see what you're doing. That's fine.
He wants to fly away.
I could consider that. Or give me a Snickers. Want to get away? Either one.
He's not running away.
No, that's pretty true. So, stay tuned for the final half hour of the show. And then while the Blitz starts there, first two segments, I'll still be in here trying to get up and out of here.
Trying to walk away.
I may be out on the camera by the time they wrap up the first segment.
You're going to miss Monday Night Football.
I make Fred look like Carl Lewis. I'm going to be like, there's no chance. All right. Final half hour comes up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So, update on Vegas, Dave. Update on just a life story that people need to learn a lesson from. Do your homework. Do your background checks. He basically was banned from Vegas for 3 years.
Yep.
Indicted on what, Nick? About 40 different possible charges?
Oh, it's 19 felony counts carrying a potential sentence of 40-plus years, but I think he got out of it. This was going back to May, where he officially got the ban for 3 years from all Las Vegas sports books, and this is according to the Las Vegas Review Journal.
He's going to be like, hey, guys, Atlantic City Dave here.
That's right. And make sure, Nick, that you, when you talk about him, you let people know he wore the backpack that was see-through during all the proceedings.
He did.
That's so weird.
That was weird when he mentioned it on
there. Everything
about that was
weird. Yeah. That was the first year. That's why I totally forgot about him. Yeah. But usually guys that just absolutely flake, I tend to forget about. But he popped up back in the news. So
yeah, we would say, like, we would switch gears and say, hey, baseball playoffs, talk about this game. And he'd be like, the next week we'd get an email. Vegas Dave only wants to talk about Vegas Dave.
Yeah. It's like, okay, no one cares. Dave.
No one said you're anything close to, like, the big name gamblers that we are all very familiar with. So
right.
Slow down, big guy.
I mean, he's no Jimmy the Hatchet Valentine.
True.
I love that so
Although,
much.
Although the other stat he dropped on us, which he had like a... He had validation from the Vegas casino. He had actually won the biggest one-time bet in baseball in the playoffs or something and picked one preseason winner to win the World Series all the way through. And there was just so much BS we had to read that I was like, this dude.
Well, speaking of that, though, I do want to give a shout-out to my guy Grump713 on Twitter.
Okay.
He owns a local t-shirt company called Sauce Brothers. And they hooked me up with this shirt. You can see it on the stream. Mm-hmm. It's a DJ Screw shirt. It says Be Someone on it and then down the bottom. But it's a badass shirt. It's got the dome on it. It's got DJ Screw. But, yeah, I had been trying to give some publicity to some of the local companies and show some love to the small businesses. So he sent me a shirt. I rocked it on Houston Sports Show last night and got it on today. So much love to him. And I got some compliments on it already. In fact, I was telling him I wore it to since yesterday we shot the show and then I went to Lucky's. I had it on and some guy just walked by at Lucky's, gave me the H Town symbol, and he was like, "Nice shirt, man." So, saucebrothers.net, but it's BRO, saucebros.net. Go check them out. Support
sauce
local.
Saucebros.net.
Saucebros.net.
Get with Saucebros.
Support local businesses is the point.
And then you get with them and tell them we want the front to say Dicker the Kicker.
Nope.
And on the back to say Longer and Stronger, No Need to Be Quicker. And make it
fantastic
burn orange.
Idea.
And Nick and I can get profits off of that.
Producer P. Randizzle was dying for us to talk about this Texas Tech snap gate. And I'm like, nobody cares, bro. With all the stuff that's been going on. And I get it. That's an important
if
that's
your
team. It was a
big deal and I saw it.
But again, with Astros and the Cowboys crap in the bed and OU Texas and A&M Bama and Texans Chiefs and like no one cares. Like, I mean, yeah, did they get screwed? Probably.
Joel versus infection is more important than freaking Texas Tech Baylor. I'm
Joel
sorry.
Versus bicycles
yeah,
is a bigger
slow
deal.
Down.
I get it. It was a bad call, bad look, but at the
awful.
End of the day, what did it really mess up?
Well, we talked about it. Hey, let's go in order. But Donnie wants to get a real
Why
quick Packers
TV
call,
moved?
And then we're going to get into some more Astros. So, Donnie, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say two things. Love listening to the show, and thank you for doing everything, and go Pack Go.
Beautiful call, Donnie. Rack that one. Best of the week. And now, here's the other thing. I had mentioned this earlier.
How are these bad calls
in the show? But if we, you know, and me, obviously with my background, I'm going to be the biggest broadcast critic there is. I already came in and wasn't pleased Joe Buck was doing the Astros series, and I warned Astros fans because
I don't know why y'all hate Joe Buck so much.
And I told you in the
past.
Get
over it, too.
Yeah, you know what?
Get over it.
I'm just telling you. All we needed was Troy Aikman near the Astros dugout for you guys to experience the bleh that I've dealt with forever. But I was like, well, let it play out. I'm not going to say anything more than that. We'll see what happens. So what happens is Joe Buck calls Josh Reddick in the dugout JJ Reddick. And I'm like, okay, where's your producer in your ear? You can correct this quickly. My bad. Meant to say. But no, none of that. And then Mr. Prolific Overstatement, Alex Rodriguez, who I've already said is way too over the top, Yankees, 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 because I think somehow he wants to be put on the Yankees top 10 all-time list, which he's not even going to sniff for his career, but he wants to be the Yankee man all of a sudden. He goes out in the postgame with this beautiful, overdrawn, overworded tribute to the two biggest, most iconic, and potentially, you know, I forget the exact words he used, players in the game right now. One being, of course, Aaron Judge, and the other being Carlos Beltran. When you find a shortstop at 6'4", that's that big with that much athleticism. And again, no one even corrected him.
Yeah, he didn't even get it right.
You got to correct this stuff.
They've called, and we get stuff wrong. So I don't want to, but Nick sometimes will correct us. Our listeners will correct us. And then we will come back and we'll bitch about it. Oh, of course, everyone got on us. But we do the right thing and we come back and correct ourselves for saying a wrong name. It happens. I don't expect perfection, but I am with you. I know that was your job for 20 plus years with the Rockets, but I am with you in that. You at least owe it to that player to come back and say, I'm sorry. Obviously, I meant Carlos Correa and not Carlos Beltran.
Did you see the rebound that J.J. Reddick got on the batter's helmet that Correa shot when he touched home plate? Because he got up. He had hops.
Yeah.
I was like, well, there was your perfect opportunity. Josh Reddick, not J.J. Reddick, with the helmet rebound.
Last series, they called Will Harris, Will Smith.
I was all over that one, too.
But I get it. It's going to be, mistakes are going to happen. Like, I always screw up names. Well, I'm not going to judge. But Nick or you or a listener will correct me, and then I'll come on. Obviously, I meant this person.
Right. And in the era, this is the era to do that. I mean, back then, you never did that, right? But now we're in the era, and I hear TV and radio broadcasters on teams and national platforms that are not a part of teams, and they say, oh, excuse me. I meant this. I meant that. And it's really not that big a deal.
It's
I feel like
to correct
Joe
yourself immediately.
Right. Immediately after the mistake. Now, if you keep doing it, that's when it sounds bad. And that's probably why guys like A-Rod and Joe Buck, they come from an older school. Like, they probably just, dang it, I made a mistake. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to acknowledge it.
And the other thing is, I love Pedro, and I love Poppy, and I love their careers, and I love their expertise. But Poppy's already sworn on the air before. And the other night, I made Nick rewind it.
We played it.
He's cheating.
Yeah.
He's cheating.
I was so adamant with Nick that he dropped an S-bomb. And if you really slow it down and listen to it, I'll give you the fact that he said cheating. But boy, I'll tell you what. I was convinced for a good 15, 20 minutes that he cussed.
A-Rod thought so, too. I think he realized after.
His facial expression sure thought he did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he realized after. He's like, oh, he's trying to say cheating. But he totally sounded so like funny. He dropped the S-bomb. It was pretty funny. We played it over the air. But I bet you if you did slow down that audio, it might sound like the S-bomb.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You never know.
And I haven't at least listened to it. And she goes, yeah, no, I get what you're hearing. But I think Nick's right. He really did try and say cheating. I was like, I hope so. Because, like, wasn't it a year or so ago that he, because he has no broadcast experience. They're just going on his playing days and his knowledge. Because even this year, he did what he did a couple years ago when he cussed because he was like, I'm in holy, look at these numbers. And he just turned the flashcard over. Again, the other night when they were talking about Cole, he goes, I mean, we could talk about this a lot of ways, but look at this. And he just turned the flashcard over and everybody goes, you want to read that? Because there's a glare. No one can see that on TV.
That's funny.
And then they had to zoom in because he refused to read it when it gave how Cole was in the playoffs and his numbers. But I love him.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to clean that stuff up immediately. If you're
Mike called it shitting. It's not shitting, people. It's me paying attention and using every single element that I have to beat you.
Beat you. by not sheeting.
That's what he sounded like.
That's awesome.
Beat you by not sheeting.
I thought you need some toilet paper after that. All right, Jeff wants to get in here on A-Rod. Jeff, what's up?
What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Them two yehos was firing up cigars. Y'all know if y'all saw that last night. And A-Rod, he's a dumbass. And I say, how about them Cowboys? Later, guys. You're great, man.
Appreciate that. How about the last three
Appreciate
losses?
Appreciate the call,
bud. That was a lot of stuff in there.
I was just scared he was going to.
I thought he might drop a bomb, too.
Yeah, it was.
And it wasn't going to be shooting.
I was like,
yehos and dumbasses. And I was like, what's up? And then he said, how about them Cowboys? And I was like, oh, well.
At least he didn't cheat.
Dodged a bullet there, I guess.
There was no cheating involved. So that's good. So, yeah. I mean, you know, the other things that I want to talk to you guys about. Look, people had a problem with the home plate umpire last night. But both teams got squeezed, okay? There were a couple high pitches early Verlander wanted. Obviously, in game one, Greinke was upset he wasn't getting the low pitches. But, you know, the Yankees, they had their share where they had an argument on some calls, too. But the fact of the matter is, and I understand because you're Gary Sanchez, you're behind the plate. That's kind of an extra added variable. But you should have been out on the foul ball. You should have been out on the foul ball that hit the girder. Then you should have been out on the foul ball where they said you tipped it. And why there's no review on that, I don't know. And why he refused to even ask one of the other umpires.
I'll tell you why. Because it was dead ball at that point. You can't predict what would happen. You can't say, well, he's out because it's a dead ball because the ball got away. Had he caught it cleanly, but you can't review balls and strikes. But had he caught it cleanly, then you might have a case for it because, oh, well, it was a foul tip into the glove. But the fact of the matter is the ball bounced, got away. And Sanchez could have ran
so
the first.
He could have run and tried to, even if he was
and
called
I'm not,
out.
It didn't just dribble away. It got far up the line, up the third baseline, where Chirinos had
like
to go
Brantley
and get that
last
ball.
Night ended and would have beaten that one out.
Exactly. So you can't predict that. So that's why.
Fair. I'll take that.
That's why. But yeah, it was obvious on the replay that he missed, but that was a strike. You can't review balls and strikes.
But for
not
every Sanchez
happen.
Called third that you want to bitch about if you're a Yankee fan, I give you Bregman called third. Which was not a strike.
Oh, man.
And say, touche. Wash, throw them both away, deal with the results.
Yeah.
We got a series, and that's what even just a common baseball fan wanted instead of anyone going any which way. So that's a good thing. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We're going to continue to go on until 4 o'clock, take you all the way till then, and the Blitz will take you till 7. Plenty more we can get to, but obviously we're going to put a bow on it and do what's right. Then we're going to turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. But before we do that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. If you're looking for a great place to watch Monday Night Football tonight and the baseball playoffs at the same time with all kinds of plenty of TVs, great food and drink, and, of course, a lot of lively atmosphere, including Twin Peaks Grills. You got to go to Twin Peaks. 5 locations in the Houston area, and they're all fantastic. They're safe. They're clean. You're not going to get the bar fights and things I've seen at other places or across town. You're going to get a great environment where you're going to be waited on by the beautiful Twin Peaks Grills. 29-degree draft brews made from scratch, appetizers and entrees. And oh, by the way, every package to every network for every sporting event you want to see. You want to sit down and have 3 really large big screen TVs give you Monday Night Football, National League Championship Series, and NBA preseason basketball. Boom, done. It's that simple because you go to one of the locations where you know you can trust. It's Twin Peaks. It's as simply put as I can do it, and it's going to tell you all you need to know. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Boy, has it flown by today. Appreciate y'all, fellas, because shout outs to you guys for always checking on me through all this debacle, but the fact that I was able to kind of just step out of the hospital right into this kind of gets me back to normal real quick.
Good.
So I appreciate that.
Welcome back. Happy to have
Suspects,
you.
Fantastic. Not only, again, doing the same things, but joining the show today and participating. We had a lot of fun with that. With that said, there's salt for wounds, and then there's Clarence. Clarence is riding high these days because he can crap on all things Georgia. He can celebrate all things Saints and LSU. And I believe the crosshairs today are on college football. So, Clarence, hey, man, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Who that? Joe, glad you're doing well.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, so we know that this big game is coming up in a couple of weeks. And you guys already touched on it about rankings and everything and where each team will fall. Now, when they play and they're 1-2, if it's a close game, no matter who wins, how far would you drop them? And would they still be in consideration for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I would see this. I think they stay top 10. If Georgia can lose to South Carolina and drop from 3-10, then I don't see why you would, if LSU or Bama loses to the other, and it's a close game, that you wouldn't even, that you would lose, you know, drop out of the top 10 for sure. I think you have to look at what the rest of the schedule does. Clemson, yep. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Wisconsin. I think we can safely say that both of these teams are better than Penn State and down if you're looking at the correct rankings for sure. So I could see them dropping to like 6, whoever loses that game. And then everybody else moves up a spot.
Who gets hurt worse by a loss? Because to me, LSU's schedule has already validated them enough that yeah. if they lose to, if the, again, the conceived one right now, but if they lose to one, I don't think it hurts them. But if Alabama, who's been accused of playing cupcake non-conferences, goes in and loses to LSU, even if they're somewhat impressive the rest of the way, I think it really that's a huge blemish for them because they didn't play. It's like the Cowboys. They didn't play anybody till they played a true team in LSU, and they got, if they get beat, especially if it's not close, it's a huge, huge red X for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Well, yeah, because you figure they're going to go into that undefeated, right, into that LSU game.
Right.
And LSU will also be going in undefeated, but they would have beaten 9 Texas, 7 Florida, and Auburn at 11, who sits at 11 right now. Yep. And whether they move or not, they could be a top 10 team, but very close. So you'd have 3 top 10, top 11 wins going into that Bama game. If you lose to Bama, not that big of a deal. On the flip side, Bama going in, their only signature win is against the Aggies,
right?
Who are now going to be out of the top 25.
Right.
So it doesn't even really count. You beat them when they were 24. They won't even be ranked going into that. So there's no signature wins really on this Bama schedule. It definitely hurts Bama a lot more to lose that game because then you have to look at them and go, look, we know they're good, but how good are they against the elite programs?
But again, then if they get all the way back to the conference championship game, take care of business after the loss.
Sure, after the loss, they got Mississippi State, WCU, and Auburn. And then if they beat Auburn, if they already fell to LSU, are going to be down already, so it's not as good of a signature
rivalry
win
game,
for them.
It's a huge one.
Yeah.
It'll change emotions, but I don't know that it changes the result, but it could.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, and they end up getting to a rematch game,
Bama has a lot more to lose if they lose than LSU.
Absolutely.
Does.
That's what I was getting.
For sure.
So, yeah. So, Clarence, appreciate the call.
The problem for LSU, though, if I could just add, is once they lose that game, they don't have anything left on the schedule. It's Mississippi, it's Ole Miss, Arkansas, and A&M.
Now,
so that's the problem, is they're not going to have another opportunity to beat a ranked team. But at that point, you're LSU, you say, look, we beat everybody but Bama, and it was the only team you had ranked against us, so how bad are we really?
Right. I mean, and so when you look at it, obviously it hurts Alabama more than it does hurt LSU. Mm-hmm. And the other factor that you look at is because, I mean, aren't they both in the SEC West?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, so they're not going to meet again in the conference championship game.
No, they
won't. So, yeah, that definitely hurts Alabama a whole lot more. So we'll see how it plays out. But, look, kudos to LSU. Like I said, it's the same way I don't get excited about Wisconsin because too many years I've been through this where they've been top 5 hanging around for so long, and then when they play somebody, they crap to bed.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Alabama or Clemson, I need to realize there's a couple new sheriffs in town that really, like in the past, you go, they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now you really got to – they're not in the rear view anymore. They're in the driver's seat in a lot of ways, as long as they take care of their business compared to the way it's been in the past.
Yeah, there are some teams that can make some hay at the top of this, including Ohio State, including Wisconsin. So, yeah, if you're Clemson and Alabama, and you have to be careful because the schedule is not as hard. And if you drop one of these games, if you have a mistake, and you know, we've seen it. Nobody goes undefeated. It's not like it used to be, right? Like you're playing some difficult games and there's not a lot of margin for error at the top anymore, especially with some of the games that, like Ohio State, if they do lose to Wisconsin, they can still go back and beat Penn State and Michigan and bolster their opportunities for a bowl game. Obviously, they're not going to make the playoffs, but they can make some hay.
And they would get Wisconsin in the conference championship game, assuming Wisconsin did what they had. Then if you split, and because in a lot of ways it becomes who won the conference gets the tiebreaker, then it sits well for them too.
Yep.
So that's all, you know.
That's why I was earlier making the point about SEC. I mean, Big Ten has a much better chance, I think, of having two teams represented because of the scenario we just gave, you know, with the ability for both of those teams to split in the conference championship. So,
yeah, so that's stuff to keep an eye on. The other thing, did you guys see this as we wrap things up? We always get a little bit offbeat, but this is crazy. I was reading about this before I even saw our rundown today, but the LA Kings are covering a banner due to the Taylor Swift curse. And because you guys are both Swifties, Nick, you love her rear end. Barry, you just love her music, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, not the rear end
fan. I don't get either one. Nick, you love that, and I don't get that either. But
yeah, that's weird.
So the story goes the LA Kings hockey team are not taking any chances with a Taylor Swift curse after winning the Stanley Cup in 2012 and 14. The Kings haven't gotten out of the first round of the playoffs since a banner commemorating Taylor Swift's sellout streak at Staples Center was raised in August of 2015. So the team is trying to shake it off.
No, what? 352.
By covering the banner with black cloth, leaving a blank space in the rafters.
Boy. 352 in 24 seconds. Now it's going
I did
down
not here. Write either one of these things,
thanks,
by the way. ESPN
okay,
did.
All right.
The LA Kings have said, quote, "The connection to our fans is our highest priority, and through our engagement, they have made it clear that the banner shouldn't be part of Kings games and the Kings game experience." So they're covering it up.
It's disrespectful to my girl. How dare they? I will say, though, I've been disappointed in her last couple releases. 1989
I've been, was... I've been disappointed notch. With all of them. Single one of them.
You don't like any of her music?
I don't like her music, and I don't like her butt.
1989 was full of bangers. What are you talking about?
Believe me, I know. I had a banner year in 89, I believe.
No, her album, jerk.
Oh, okay.
Hate you.
I'm just throwing it out there. But come on, man. See, here's the thing. At Staples Center, I get it if you're Doc Rivers and the Clippers and you're trying to create your own culture, that when you have home games, you cover up all of the Lakers banners and things, and you put, even if you don't have banners, you put imagery and things of your players. But a musician being the reason, and a flag for a musician being the reason you haven't gotten out of the first round of the playoffs?
It's if you're superstitious...
I'm not saying I'm not, but I'm just saying that's a bit much.
I mean...
At the professional level, I can see that happening. But I guess Taylor Swift is so big in L.A. That's why it's so surprising to me.
Why is she big in L.A.? She's not from there.
She's not, but that market has absolutely... I mean, she does well there. She does incredibly well there.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I want to be, like, judgy and be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever... But I won't go on stage unless I have on blue underwear. I look... It has nothing to do with my comedy.
For the next 2 weeks, the last thing you should want to be is judgy.
Why?
Until the Yankees are out of the equation, don't be judgy.
All right. Now it's just
now that was mine.
All rise.
That was mine. Gone. Yeah, and that's so annoying.
That's all over Twitter. All rise.
And if I heard one, I was waiting for it. If I heard one Yankee fan say anything about the way Correa celebrated after the whole rolling and taught and doing all the things Judge did around the bases, if you're okay with that, then you're okay with Correa, and you need to slow your ass down.
Can I get one thing off my chest before we go? And I made this note, and I didn't get to get to it.
Okay.
But I was at Lucky's, and you talk about Texans crowd. They were out in full force at Lucky's Pub. Only problem I had throughout the whole thing, and they were chanting and cheering and clapping, and that's fine. But when Titus Howard got injured and he got on the cart and drove off, one guy stood up from his bar seat.
I've told you about this.
And started clapping.
I've told you about this.
I was like, bro. That's TV, you dumbass. Why are you standing and clapping? You're not at the stadium. He can't
hear you. You were the one that said it was okay when I said people that react like they're at the game on things that happen on TV should not be allowed in sports bars. You can do what you would do at home, cuss at the TV.
I was
clapping.
Last night I went and saw our guy Dusty Slay, who joined the show on Friday, and I went on Sunday and hung out with him, and my buddy Chris Rogers, who writes for Houston Sports Show, and I were doing the show. So we left, went next door to Big City Wings, and finished watching the Astros. And when Correa hit that home run, I clapped.
That's fine.
Okay, but I'm saying...
But I got people I'm doing fantasy draft with while they're watching games, yelling things about players and what to do.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's...
singing, you know, Deep in the Heart of Texas. And I'm like... No, you're not
the
there.
Singing the no, you can't start singing.
That's just stupid.
But standing for an injury at a sports bar?
Yeah. Or in general, it's just stupid. But at a sports bar, it's even worse.
Yeah. Believe me, standing is a tough thing to swallow lately for me.
You would know.
I would. With that note, we appreciate you tuning in on the start of the week, and hopefully you stay with us for the rest of it. Before we turn it over to the Blitz, I want to tell you, if you're looking for a great place for a staycation, whether it be you and your significant other, or maybe get the family out of the house without out of the city, you got to go to the Houstonian. Houstonian's got everything you need under one roof. And instead of being a 3 to 4 hour flight or drive, it's right in the Galleria area. It's 175,000 square foot health club, 27 acres of trails and jogging and hiking opportunities for the family or for you and your significant other. And it's all right in the heart of Houston. They have the most luxurious rooms. And the fact that they have not only 4 swimming pools, 4 restaurants, a phenomenal world-class spa, but everything under one roof means you get there and everything else is taken care of until you leave. And it feels like you're miles and miles away when you're all right here in an extended stay in H-Town. So I suggest you do this. Get on the internet and go to Houstonian.com. Once you do, you just roll on the video. You'll see everything I'm talking about. It is the premier destination for a staycation or a business location when you're thinking about planning in the Houston area. Forget all the other hotels you've heard about. If you go once, you'll go a million times. It's the Houstonian. Go to Houstonian.com and see what I mean.